the birth of Jesus Christ came about this way.
After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit.
So her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man,
and not wanting to disgrace her publicly,
decided to divorce her secretly.
But after he had considered these things,
an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying,
Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife,
because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.
She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus,
because he will save his people from their sins.
Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet.
See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son,
and they will name him Emmanuel,
which is translated, God is with us.
When Joseph woke up, he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him.
He married her, but knew her not until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered.
This first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria.
So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town.
Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea,
to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family line of David,
to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant.
While they were there, the time came for her to give birth.
Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger,
because there was no guest room available for them.
In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock.
Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified.
But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look,
I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.
Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord.
This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger."
Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying,
"Glory to God in the highest heaven,
and peace on earth to people he favors."
When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another,
"Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened,
which the Lord has made known to us."
They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger.
After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child.
And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them.
But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them.
The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told.
Well, Christmas is a time of year where we have traditions that we carry out. You know, maybe it's the Christmas dinner with your family, which you always eat too much. Or maybe it's the 5 a.m. wake up on Christmas morning. Parents, sorry about that. Just get ready for that. Or maybe it's when you try to get that perfect Christmas photo. You know, that Christmas picture that you're going to send out to all your family and friends, and you're just hoping for one good one, but you get 50 of these. Yeah, that's a tradition for some of us, you know. But whatever it is, each year we carry out these traditions, and at Riverview we are no different. We have a tradition that we do every Christmas Eve, and we read from those two passages that we just heard. We read from Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2. And we always read from those texts because it's there that we find the Christmas story. And that story doesn't evolve into anything different each year. It's the same text, it's the same characters, and it's the same plot. And if you're like me, sometimes when you hear stories that you've heard before, you may tend to zone out. Or you may tend to think, yeah, I've heard this before. There's not much different about this. But there is something different about this story. You see, the story of the nativity, it's always relevant to us. It's always meaningful. This is a story that demands a response from all of us. Over the last month or so, my three-year-old son, Jude, when my wife, Danielle, and I put him down to bed, he's begun asking us to tell him a story. So we'll put him in his bed and we'll tell him a story. And anytime we try to tell him a new story, he stops us. He says, no, 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 because he wants a story that he's heard before. So we'll tell him these same stories over and over again. And while it gets repetitive to me, I've learned that I'm actually just like Jude in that. I love hearing the same stories over and over again. It's why every December I watch the same Christmas movies, right? It's why we listen to the same Christmas music every year. We need to be reminded. And as I was listening to that passage from Matthew and Luke, I was just thinking, yep, I've heard this before. And maybe you're like that too. Maybe you heard that story every year coming to church as a kid, or maybe you actually open up the scriptures and read that with your families on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. But as I was reading it this time, I noticed something that I hadn't really noticed before. And it has to do with some minor characters in the story, characters we don't normally focus on. It had to do with the shepherds. And this is in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, where it said this: in the same region, the shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all of the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord." So what's happening here in the story is it's just an average night for these shepherds. This is just what they would do. They would tend their flocks. They would be protecting all of their sheep from any danger around them. And then out of nowhere, an angel shows up on the scene. And there's this huge light that shines, and all these shepherds are terrified. And this may be confusing for us because the vision of angels that many of us have are those cute little cherub babies, right, floating around, or the Precious Moments dolls that we had, you know, when we were kids. But that's not what it is here. Anytime an angel would show up in the scripture, people would fall before them because God's presence was in that place. And this is what happens for these shepherds. They don't know what to do. They're in great fear. But then the angel tells them something. And this is what they say. It says, "Don't be afraid. For look, I proclaim to you good news." Now, this is really interesting, because if you're at all familiar with the scripture, you've probably seen something like this happen before, where an angel shows up on the scene, and usually they will give the person advice. They will say, "Hey, you need to get out of this place because someone is coming for you, or you need to go find this person because they're going to help you along with your next step." But this time, that's not what happens. The angel shows up and just says, "We have good news for you." Tim Keller is a pastor in New York, and he wrote about this account. And in this writing, he talks about the difference between news and advice. And this is what he says. He says, "Advice is counsel about what you must do. News is a report about what has already been done. Advice urges you to make something happen, when news urges you to recognize something that's already happened and to respond to it. Advice says it's all up to you to act, and news says someone else has acted." Now, whenever we are in some kind of issue or problem in our life, we will go to someone that we trust and we'll ask for advice. This is maybe a common thing that you do. You're like, "What Christmas gift should I get my significant other? Or what ugly Christmas sweater should I wear to the party? Or should we get an elf on the shelf?" Okay, I have no help for you with that one. Okay, you can figure that one out on your own. But oftentimes, we seek out advice in response to something that has happened. We live in a world where we have endless amounts of information in our pocket. We can get out our smartphones and we can scroll the news sites. We can look at the Twitter feed and we can just be informed about what's happening in the world. But if we're honest, most of what we see, it's not good. We see a lot of bad news. We don't see news reports about healthy relationships, but we see existence of abuse by those who are in power. We don't see entire communities or cities coming together to achieve a common goal, but we see the devastation that one individual can have on an entire community. We don't see those with much helping those with a little, but we see those who are marginalized in our culture just continue to struggle. Merry Christmas, right? We cannot ignore the fact that brokenness exists in our world, that what we hope for and the present reality, they don't match up most of the time. Some of us are reminded of that in the Christmas season. We've got broken families. We've got relationship tension. We just have bad memories. We are a people in need of good news. And when that angel showed up that night and told the shepherds, they didn't give them good advice. They didn't say, you have to go. They said, something has happened. I think many of us would say that generally, we prefer getting advice over news. You know, we want the 10 steps to the happy and healthy life. If I just treat my spouse this way, if I set this example at work, if I love my kids like that, then I'll just be happy, right? It's this checklist that we're trying to live through. But if we look in the scripture over and over again, we see before any of that, before any advice, we should first respond to the news. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says this, "For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast." Romans chapter 10, verse 10, "One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, everyone who believes on him will not be put to shame. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." In a world where everywhere we look, it just seems like there's bad news, we consistently look for something good. A reminder that all isn't lost. A reminder that evil will not win. And in that search for something good, the scriptures actually tell us to do something. The most important advice that God gives us in the scripture is to believe the news of the gospel. If you think about all those songs that we've sung today and the songs that we're going to continue to sing, those aren't songs that are just giving us good advice. They're all just news reports of what has been done. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Or this is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn king. After the shepherds hear from the angel, they immediately go and they meet Mary and Joseph and Jesus. And then after they meet him, this is what they do. I love it. It's in verse 17. "After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told." So they went, they left, and they didn't go back the same people. They went and they just started telling everyone about what they had seen. They had met Jesus. They glorified and praised God by sharing the news with anyone that would listen to them. And this news was the news of a Messiah, of a king that they had waited hundreds of years for was finally here. As we celebrate Christmas, as individuals and with our families and our friends, my advice to you, my advice to me, is to respond to the news of Jesus Christ, that he came into this world like we did, as a baby born to human parents, that he grew up like we did, as a human being to human parents. But as he grew in wisdom and in stature, he never sinned. He never needed good advice for how to live in obedience to God or his law. He was perfect. But in his perfection, he chose to take all of our imperfections, all of our sin, all of the bad news that we bring into this world. Jesus took all of that onto himself, and he died on a cross. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead, conquering sin and Satan and death. And right now, at this very moment, while we celebrate his birth into this world, Jesus is alive. He is sitting at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, and he's interceding on behalf of those who have put their faith in him. This is not just good news. This is the best news we can ever receive. The most powerful stories that we read, the ones we want to hear over and over again, they are the ones that tell of this greater story. The stories I tell my son Jude before he goes to bed, they just merely echo our own story as fallen human beings in this world. Everything was good. There was peace. But then something went wrong, and we needed to be rescued. So God sent this rescuer. He sent Jesus to save us. And Jesus brought restoration to what had been broken. That story, the story of the nativity, of Jesus coming to seek and save what was lost, that is the greater story. It's the one story that demands a response from all of us. If you're a follower of Jesus, I want to challenge you. Respond to this news. Glorify and praise God for the truth that God has redeemed you, that you have peace with him through faith. But then as you respond, you see yourself in the story. We are participants. We have a responsibility. We actually begin to live like the shepherds. We participate in God's work of restoring what's been broken in the world. And we do that by loving people, by meeting the needs around us, and by sharing the news. I need to remember that it's this story. It's Matthew chapter 1 and it's Luke chapter 2. It's that story that continues to save people. And that's what's always going to be the case. It is God's word that brings people to faith. It's a reminder for us that as followers of Jesus, we've been invited into a life of bringing light into darkness, of bringing peace to what is distressed, of bringing restoration to what has been broken. Where do you find yourself in the story? Where can you help bring light and peace into a world that so desperately needs it? Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, we are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. If you've not yet put your faith in Jesus, I want to challenge you with the same thing. Respond to the news. Glorify and praise God for this gift that's been offered to you, the gift of peace with him through faith in what Jesus has done on the cross. A tradition that most of us have around Christmas is the giving and receiving of gifts. So many of us are going to go home tonight, and we're going to wake up tomorrow, maybe at 5 a.m., and we're going to see a tree with just tons of gifts around it. And some of those gifts are something that you asked for. Some of them may surprise you. Some of them are gifts that you may not really need, but some may be gifts that you've realized you can't live without. But I want to ask you something. What if you woke up tomorrow and you didn't open any of them? What good would those gifts be if they just stayed there, unwrapped, unopened, and unused? You see, gifts are meant to be opened and enjoyed by the one who receives them. Don't ignore the gift. Respond in faith by accepting the gift God is offering you today. Peace with him. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all of the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you first and foremost for the gift. The gift that you offer freely to any of us by just accepting and understanding that we are separated from you and our sin, but God, you made a way to know you through Jesus. God, I thank you that this story, while it may be one that we've heard before, one that we hear every year, God, it's never old. It's always relevant. It's always needed because it's our story. We need rescue, and you've provided it through Christ. We thank you for that. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.